You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 186. And if you've been struggling to get new prospects and leads into your business, you want to stay tuned. My guest today is going to share some cutting edge techniques proven to get traffic flowing to your business. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact? Boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hey there, inspired entrepreneur and business leader. It's your host, Profit Amplifier, Melanie Benson. And I've been looking forward to sharing today's episode with you. I have this amazing resource that I've been tapping into of people who are doing all kinds of cool stuff in the marketing world. And one of them is joining us today, and he authored a book that I literally went and bought for every single one of my Amplify Mastermind members, because I found it to be such a great, almost like a toolkit or a Bible full of great ideas. So you'll find out how to get your hands on this book during the interview. So stay tuned, take good notes. And before we get into today's episode, I want to drop another great resource into your lap. And this is for you if you're looking for a strategy, an idea, a tip to really up your revenue flow in 30 days or less. That's right. I want to share with you your Revenue Rush Toolkit. It's absolutely free at yourrevenuerush.com. And inside this toolkit are 10 proven time-tested strategies that I've used over and over and over again, not only in my own business, but in the business of my clients as well, to get a burst of $5,000, $10,000, sometimes even $30,000 or $40,000 coming in the gate. And this is really helpful if you've unexpectedly lost a client, or if you are just looking to up the revenue this month and really want to challenge yourself. And I would suggest you pick two or three of these to do over and over and over again to really add it into your consistent marketing machine. That's one of the tricks I teach in Profit Explosion Toolkit. But let's get you started right now with this free resource at yourrevenuerush.com. Now, let me introduce you to today's Amplify expert. All right, friends, I got a really fun interview and super insightful. I'm talking to the author of Inbound Marketing, the creator of Leadsology. We're talking about how to generate high quality inbound new client inquiries that are going to fill your programs and exponentially grow your revenues. Let me introduce you to my friend Tom Poland. As I mentioned, he's the best-selling author of the Leadsology Trilogy and the creator of Inbound Lead Generation Systems by that same name. And Tom's specialty is the generation of predictable weekly flow of high-quality inbound new client inquiries for professionals with an average transaction of thousands of dollars. Don't you just want to like listen to this and go put it all into action immediately? Well, I hope you will, because he's got some great tips, some great strategy that he's going to reveal to us today. Tom, thanks for joining me, and congratulations on 3 books now. I think I've got 2 of the 3, and I'm holding the Inbound Marketing book right now. Been pouring through it and super loving it.
Super. Terrific. G'day, you Profit Amplifier, you. thank you for the royalties. Actually, 5 books now.
We're going to have to update your information there.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, the trilogy, there are 3 lead generation books. Yeah.
Got it. So 5 books, 3 on Leadsology. What is the Leadsology, it's a little bit of a tongue twister, series about, and why is it so unique right now?
Okay. So Leadsology is, you know, we have, psychology, which is a scientific study of the mind. You've got, biology, the scientific study of living species. Leadsology is the scientific study of inbound lead generation. And the reason I focus on inbound is that that's the only thing that really worked for my professional services business from way back when. Because when you're offering advice, it's actually far more like you're proposing marriage to a prospect than it is you're selling a washing machine. Because when you sell a washing machine, you know, the purchaser only has to fall in love with the washing machine. But if you're selling services or advice or anywhere where you've got a longer term relationship, where the prospect has to respect you and you have to establish rapport and trust and all those other things, then you know you need to give people a few first dates before you propose that they reach out and talk about working with you. So that whole the critical essence of marketing for professional services and ideas, where the average transaction is thousands of dollars, it's got to be inbound, because we've got to give people the opportunity to have a couple of dates with you before they reach out and inquire about working with you. So that's the inbound thing versus the outbound thing. If you're a chiropractor or a masseur, then people are going, okay, maybe I lose $100 if they're no good. But if you're a business coach or a financial planner or a management consultant or something like that, and people are probably looking to pay you thousands and thousands of dollars, so you really got to establish rapport, respect, relatability, and reciprocity first before you suggest they think about working with you. Does that make sense?
Totally. And I think a lot of service providers get really confused about this, especially when they have bigger ticket offerings, and they get all convoluted in their head and they don't know what to do. So I think it's really nice to kind of like give them a little bit of clarity. And this distinction between inbound and outbound is really important, especially if you're in the coaching and consulting world these days, I think, personally.
Yeah, it is. Because think about it. I mean, I tell the story, and it's a true story. I've written about a couple of books. I was in the kitchen having coffee with my wife one day, and I don't know, I had some sort of brain sneeze, you know, some explosion in my brain. I asked her a really stupid question. I said, who do you think is the world's most irresistible man? It gave me a couple of names, but I didn't really see any spark in her eye. And then she goes, oh, I know, Hugh Jackman. And her eyes kind of lit up. And, you know, Hugh Jackman's that Australian actor. He can sing, he can dance, he's extraordinary. He's a philanthropist. He's community orientated. He gives to charities. He's pretty good looking. And he's got a body Adonis would die for. So I said to her, yeah, I get that. Hugh Jackman would be the world's most irresistible man. Yeah. I said, so then I had another brain sneeze. And I said to her, okay, let's just say that this is me and my wife in the kitchen having coffee together. I said, let's just say there was a knock on the front door right now. And you put your coffee down and you went to the door and you opened it. And there was Hugh Jackman standing before you. And he drops to one knee and he holds up a little red velvet box and he snaps the lid open and there's a diamond ring. And he says to me, look, you don't know me, but my name's Hugh Jackman. Would you make me the happiest man on earth? Would you run away with me, marry me, and live with me for the rest of your life? I said to my wife, what would you say if Hugh Jackman proposed to you? And she put a coffee down and she looked at me and she flooded her eyes, as women are often to do. And she said, well, Tom, you know I love you, right? I said, yeah, and I think I know what you're going to say next. And she said, well, I'd probably run away with a guy named Hugh frickin' Jackman. And she said, I'm sorry, but, you know, it's Hugh Jackman. And, you know, I sort of wiped a tear out of the corner of my eye and I thought about it. And I said, you know, I don't think you need to apologize. She said, why is that? I said, well, look, if there was a knock at the front door right now and I went and opened it and it was Hugh Jackman and he proposed to me, I would probably run away as well. And I'm not even gay. You know, it's Hugh frickin' Jackman. So that's a funny little story. It's a true story. But and people laugh at it and they go, yeah, well, that would be stupid, wouldn't it? You can't just go up to people and propose marriage like Hugh Jackman could, because we're not Hugh Jackman. But I see a lot of business coaches and a lot of management consultants doing something that's kind of similar when they go to a networking meeting and they put their business card in the hands of other people and they're essentially proposing to have a conversation about working together and they haven't even had a first date yet. So this is the whole, we're not Hugh Jackman. We can't get away with what Hugh Jackman gets away with. So people get confused and think, maybe I'm Hugh Jackman. Maybe people will find me irresistible. We've got to take people on a first date first. And the first date I use in my business model is the webinar. Because the webinar gives your audience an hour of time. And in that hour, you can establish four things. You can establish respect for your professional ability, rapport, which is people can click with you and go, yeah, I think I could work with Melanie or whoever it is. Relatability, which is where you describe to them what they've tried and why it didn't work and what the symptoms are they're experiencing right now because they don't have your solution. So that increases relatability. They understand and feel you can relate to them. And finally, reciprocity, which is the hidden but most powerful marketing force on the planet, where you do something cool for someone, you add value to them, and they really, you really help them, and then they would rather work with you than anyone else because of the law of reciprocity, which is where we like to keep, unconsciously, we want to keep the score even. Someone gives to us, we want to give back to them. It's a natural reflex that all of us had other than sociopaths and narcissists.
Tom, there are so many things in what you just said that I want to talk about more, but I think that's going to be over a glass of wine and probably a separate Zoom call. But I'm still back on your wife choosing Hugh Grant over you, like, you know.
Hugh Jackman.
Sorry, Hugh Jackman.
Not that I could compete with either of them, but.
What did I say when
Hugh
I said
Grant, that? Hugh Grant, which says something about your preferences, right?
Well, yes, I was going to say, now we're getting into my story.
Freudian slip.
That probably would be Brad Pitt, but we won't talk about that. All right, I'm hoping my husband doesn't listen to this. So this is really good, though, and I love the analogy about dating and marriage. And you're right, like so many people are trying to get married before there's been any dating, let alone any kind of get to know you phase. And yeah, this is a really important part of the cycle. And so webinars are a tried and true version of that. I want to talk a little bit about something that you write about call it like there's three parts to every marketing model.
Right.
I want to know more about that because I think that part was really compelling. And I think it's where a lot of people mess this part of marketing up.
Mm. So shall I outline those three parts?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so I think I'll preface this by saying I hear a lot of confusion in the marketplace because we've got 1,001 gurus saying that their method is the best method and you should do, you know, click this or funnels that or tripwires or segmentation or billboards or radio advertising or whatever the heck it happens to be. And they all sound really confident. And they all sound like they've got great results. And so people try something and they don't get the result that all the testimonials purported that they got. So they get confused. So you have like literally millions of people wanting to market professional services or ideas or programs, et cetera. And they try a bunch of different stuff and none of it seems to work. And I think the starting point is to go back and have a look at the three components of every effective marketing campaign. And then once you understand at a strategic level what the big three parts are, you then have context and you can figure out which type of each part. So we'll talk about that. I know it sounds a bit cryptic at the moment. So let's go through the three parts. Every single type of marketing, whether it's outbound or inbound, whether it's a billboard or whether it's a webinar or whether it's a radio ad or whatever entity, has three parts to it. One is we need an audience. If there's no audience, then there's no one to hear your message or understand your offer, right? So we've got to have an audience, and you can get audiences. I mean, people buy copies of my books on Amazon. Amazon provides me with an audience. There are shoppers that go to Amazon looking for books on inbound marketing, and some of them, fortunately, buy my book. So there's an audience. And an audience could be radio listeners. It could be when we used to drive along freeways before COVID-19, you know, an audience could be looking at a billboard. So we've got to have an audience. Where we get the audience from is really, really important. The source of the audience is like 90% of the ballgame. And we can talk about your options and what the best one is in a moment. So I'm sure we all agreed that if we don't have anyone to receive the message, if we don't have an audience, nothing is going to happen. Second thing we need after the audience is we need an asset. And an asset describes how you get the message about your magic out to your market. So assets, you know, we talked about audiences. So an asset is, a webinar is an asset. A radio ad's an asset. I'm not saying you should do radio ads, but it is a form of a vehicle through which you can get the message about your magic out to your audience, out to your market. Webinars are assets, seminars, conferences, online funnels, Facebook advertisement. These are all assets. Books are assets. 5-day challenges are assets. Asset. So again, we need to understand that, yes, an asset's very important, but to figure out which asset, well, that's when we have to get more specific and have a look at your marketplace, who's the audience, so we can get relevance for the asset. Because, you know, at the back, we live on sand dunes next to the beach, which is really nice. We got this big kind of park-like backyard, and in the backyard, I've got beehives, and I also have my dog's dinner bowl. So I'm talking about relevance of asset to audience, just to illustrate the point. So if I take steak, and instead of putting it in my dog's dinner bowl, my dog being a metaphor for the audience, I put it in front of the beehive, the bees being a metaphor for another audience, then the bees aren't going to get it, right? But if I put the steak in the dinner bowl, then there is no selling required. And that's what good marketing does. Good marketing puts an offer in front of an audience who is already looking for that offer. Selling is what you have to do when your marketing sucks. So if I put a steak in my dog's dinner bowl, no selling required. If I put flowers in front of the beehive, no selling required. So to figure out which asset is best for your audience, you need to understand the audience first. Does that make sense so far?
Oh, yes. This is really good. This is exactly where things fall apart for people, is they're putting the steak in front of the beehive.
Putting the steak in front of the beehive, or then putting the bunch of flowers in my dog dinner bowl. If I did that, my dog just looks up at me and says, what? I don't get it. Right? Sell me on this. And then I have to start convincing her about all the vitamins and nutrients and minerals in the flowers. You should want to eat the flowers. And this is what selling does. To mix the metaphors up a bit, let me just explain outbound marketing versus inbound marketing in one quick short metaphor. Imagine a forest, and in the forest there's 100 sleeping grizzly bears. And they're all asleep, but three of them we know are actually hungry for our honey. Now, the bears, that's the audience, right? There's 100 sleeping bears, like 100 sleeping prospects, but we don't know which three are hungry for our product or service. And we want them to eat our honey, our product or service. So what outbound marketing does is it goes, you grab a big sharp stick and you go running into the forest and you find a bear that's sleeping, and you whack the stick in its bum, and the bear wakes up and it looks around and it sees you and your pot of honey. And if you're lucky and it's one of the three hungry ones, it eats the honey and not you. Otherwise, you better be really fast runner. And you run away, and then you find the next bear and you jab. So that's selling. That's outbound marketing. This is just annoying people with offers that we don't even know if they're interested. What inbound marketing does, it takes that honeypot, that asset that we're talking about, and just puts it gently outside the forest. And the three hungry bears, remember that we've got 100 of them there, but only three of them are hungry. They're all asleep. The three hungry bears wake up and they go, hey, I can smell honey. And they come out of the forest and they sample your honey. And that's inbound marketing. So let's get back to my thing. So we need the audience, right? We need an asset, and the asset is relevant to the audience. We have a different audience, different bunch of folks, different target market, completely different asset for doctors versus mechanics. Completely different asset. So because the different people are going to write different things. Finally, third thing you need, so we've got the audience, got the asset, need a call to action. Audience, asset, action. And again, depending on your asset, the call to action will be different. Call to actions, we talk about audiences can be, audience could be LinkedIn, could be Amazon, could be a joint venture partner's email list, assets could be webinars, billboards, radio ads. Call to actions could be follow me, social media, connect, LinkedIn, opt-in, subscribe, buy, order, book a consult, lots of different call to actions. So what we need to figure out for each person is, why would you not want to start with the best audience, the best asset, and the best call to action? Pick the low-lying fruit. Do the things that are going to give you the biggest bang for bucks first, and then get that working. It's what I call a beachhead. Establish your beachhead, establish the systems, lead generation systems, and then you can try the other stuff. But for goodness sake, start with the best audience, the best asset, and the best call to action. Shall I tell you what they are?
I think that's really good. And I'm going to have a follow-up question when you tell me what they are.
Okay. So there are, the last time I counted, there are 115 different audience possibilities. Everything from, TV listeners, magazine readers, and, billboard viewers and so on. But the very best audience is OPN, the People's Network. And this is relevant for my ideal clients, who are professional service providers, ideas, people, where the average transaction is thousands of dollars, typically business coaches, management consultants, financial planners, and people marketing SaaS and online courses, that sort of person. So the very best audience is other people's networks, OPN. So there are lots of other people out there who have a network of your ideal clients. And if you want an example like that, you're listening to it right now. So Melanie, you have a network of followers, admirers, people who are interested in amplifying the profit. And so you are, for me, an OPN partner. I'm getting my message in the form of a podcast out to an audience. So the very best source of audiences is other people's networks, typically, and more specifically, other people's email subscriber lists. Because why is it the very best audience? Okay. First of all, it's completely free. That's a really good price. Compare that to, and look, everything I'm advising folks not to do, I've done. I've burnt money on. As a professional marketer of some 39 years, I've done the funnels, and I used to be able to make them work when they're $1 for an opt-in, but now it's $12 an opt-in because the price of Facebook ads has gone up and so on and so on. It's just got just crazy, stupid, expensive. And as the price has gone up, the quality's gone down. So compare, say, you know, $3,000 a month or a $60,000 a month Facebook advertising bill with getting a higher number of better quality leads from someone else's email list, it's a no-brainer. It's completely free, right? So free. And I've already mentioned the second characteristic of OPN, other people's networks, as an audience, which is that it's high quality. Way better quality than any ClickFunnel doodacky hickey thing, which, by the way, I've done, but I don't do them anymore. And the third characteristic of the audience that comes from other people's networks is that it's inexhaustible. So if you have a look at those three characteristics, completely free, high quality, inexhaustible or sustainable, show me another source of leads that's better than that, I'll be there, but I haven't found it yet. So the very best audience is other people's email subscriber lists. The very best asset is the online meeting. Yay, COVID-19, thank you, in a way, sort of, because it's a great time to be in the business of online meetings. I run webinars once a month. I have four OPN, other people's network partners. You might know them as joint venture partners, but I have them supporting that one webinar. And so we typically have 500 to 800 people registered for, we had 1,100 the last one, registered for my one webinar once a month. So once a month, I run a webinar. We have fresh audience every single month, but I present exactly the same webinar. And the call to action is book a consult. So there you have the model. We understand we need an audience, we need an asset, we need a call to action. And I've just given you exactly, more specifically, how I do that. The audience is from other people's email lists, fresh one every month, hundreds and hundreds of people. The asset is the webinar, because in 1 hour I can establish rapport, respect, relatability, and reciprocity. And the call to action is book a consult. Because the consult, yes, you can sell off the back of a webinar. I can sell off the back of a webinar. But you will do two things if you will do the consult. One is you'll be able to qualify and customize a solution for people. And secondly, is in customizing a solution for people, because it might be a $95 a month solution or a $50,000 a month solution, you can optimize the revenue. So the market wins because you customize the solution to each individual, and you win because you get to maximize the profit opportunity where it's legitimate to do that.
I love that. That's really, it's simple and yet really profoundly integrated with what works. This is what I love about your work, Tom. You know, I have a question, a different question that I thought I was going to ask because you answered the first one, but you're talking about webinars. We're talking about qualified people. We're talking about, you know, those audiences. And one of the things that I think kind of gets slippery for people when they're learning what you're teaching here today is they don't really know how to make sure people are qualified before they move it into a consult.
Oh, yeah.
So they're not wasting a bunch of time and energy, right, on people that are not supposed to be with spending that time with them.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do you do that? Okay. Great question. And something that's in my brain so much I didn't even see it. So what you do is when you run your webinar, and this is true also if you're doing, you know, an in-person seminar or conference or something like that, when you get to the call to action, you tell people the range of your fees. So we're doing COVID-19 specials at the moment. People can get something for as little as $95 a month. But normally, outside of COVID-19, it's $7.95 a month over 12 months. And if you've got a budget for $7.95 a month as a minimum, then we should talk. So you disclose your fee range prior to giving them the link to book a time to talk with you. When you give them the link to book a time to talk with you, you make sure that when they get to that booking page, it's clear to them what your fees are, that they should be, you know, ready to start if you agree it's a good idea. I mean, I always explain to people, look, this is not going to be some sort of sales ambush. If you want to think about it, I'm really happy for you to go away and think about it. If you want to move forward on the call, that's fine too. So it's not going to be a sales ambush, but neither is it going to be some sort of strategy session or some sort of free idea session, because I explained to them that would not be fair to you, because you would walk away from that thinking you've got ideas that'll make a difference, and it won't. None of my ideas will make a difference unless you implement. And for implementation, effective implementation, you will need guidance. That's just the way it is. It's not, I haven't set this up that way. I don't know who did, God did. Go figure. I don't know. But you need to implement, you need guidance. So let's agree, it's not a sales ambush. It's not a free idea session. It's a conversation between two adults to see if I've got something here that's going to be a fit for what you need. And when you position it and you articulate it clearly, transparent, honest, you'll find that the quality of your consults increases exponentially. Of course, if you pitch the thing as, hey, come along, we'll have some ideas and I'll help you get started and everything else, then of course you're going to get a lot of tire kickers. I mean, all they're doing is accepting the offer I gave them, right? So right. I can't blame them for being broke. I invited them. And I changed my whole consult offer system. I know when I changed it was, it was in February 5 years ago, because I did a webinar to someone else's list and I got 23 consults. 23 consults. Wow. That's, I'm going to make a fortune, right? 23, God bless them, broke people. 23, count them. 1 through 23, every single one did not have the money. And I thought, this is wasting their time. It's wasting my time. That's got to stop. So then I disclosed, this is my fee. Please don't book the call unless you're comfortable with that as a minimum fee. So now 70-90% of, depending on the webinar and the source, I'm closing them, because when you offer the consult the way I've just described it, with the filters, with the qualification filters, you will find that people's attitude when they come to the consult is completely different. They come hoping to confirm that working with you is the right thing to do. Whereas normally people come to the consult expecting you to convince them. So this is a confirming process, not a convincing process. And the way I explain this to clients when they're setting up their call to action is, think of a water filter. If you've got the storm water that you can't drink because it's polluted and you want to be able to drink it, you've got to put it through a filter. And a water filter only works if you have two ingredients. One is you've got to have volume of water and you've got to have enough filters. If you don't have enough filters, you put the water on the top of the filter and it comes out the bottom dirty. But if you don't have the volume, then you just have little drips coming out the bottom. It's not enough to drink and satisfy your thirst. So consults are the same. You need volume, hence you want hundreds of people at your monthly webinar, and you need the filters. This is the price. Are you ready to start now? Here's where you go to book.
That's great. That's great. And I think that's the missing piece. People are afraid sometimes to put those filters in place because they don't want to limit the volume. But if it's not qualified volume, it's not really serving anybody. So that was a great distinction.
And it's a disservice. It's a disservice to the people that are meeting with you, hoping they can work with you, but they find out they can't afford to and they're disappointed. And it's a waste of your time. So it's a disservice to everyone by not disclosing the price up front.
I think that's really great advice. You know, while we're on this particular topic, there's a little piece of this puzzle. You brought up making that offer, you know, giving them the call to action. What do you think is the biggest obstacle to qualified people taking advantage of that call to action and making the buying decision?
Right. Well, there's several obstacles, and in explaining them, and I'll give you the biggest one that I believe. Imagine 100 meter track at the Olympics. We'll call it the hurdles track, right? I think they have 110 meter hurdles race. And let's say you've got a pot of gold across the finish line, and that represents the value of working with you, that pot of gold. And you see someone at the start line, and you know they're a qualified prospect. Let's just assume they're a qualified prospect. So, you know, they've got the money and the time is good for them and they need what you've got. And you put the pot of gold at the finish line, you think they're going to tear off that start line, just tear down the track and grab your pot of gold. And you don't know why they're not moving. But the reason they're not moving is what we don't see, that's invisible to us, but it's visible to them, are three hurdles in the way on that track. And they're worried they can't clear the hurdles. They want the pot of gold, but the hurdles include them being convinced of your capability to deliver on the promise. And that is the number one reason why people don't move forward with a consult, is that you haven't demonstrated your capability to deliver on the promise. It's assuming that you have rapport and you know, you're not doing Hugh Jackman marketing, just banging on the front door saying, hey, do you want to buy from me? But during your webinar, during your presentation, there are eight objectives you need to achieve, because a marketing webinar or a marketing presentation is completely different to a training webinar or a training demonstration. There are eight objectives you need to achieve. And the number one, supremely most important objective is that whatever benefit you put in the title of your presentation, and in mine, it's around generating a weekly flow of inbound leads. The most important objective for me to achieve during the 1 hour I have with those prospects is the demonstration of my capability to deliver on that promise. Nothing else is more important. And that's the number one hurdle, is are they absolutely convinced that you can deliver on the promise? If they are, one hurdle's been removed. Next hurdle that stops people moving forward, regardless of whatever the price point is their fear of losing money, underline this word, again. Doesn't matter if you're a corporate trainer, if you're a management consultant, if you're a business coach, if you're a marketing person, most of your ideal clients have invested money previously with your competitors and they've had a disappointing result. I talked about reciprocity being the hidden but most powerful marketing force on the planet. Disappointment. Yeah. Is the hidden and most powerful anti-marketing force on the planet. And it's unconscious. I invested money with people like Tom before, and I've done that probably 3, 5, 7, 9 times. And this is my clients telling me this, by the way, Melanie, this is what they've done. So why is Tom going to be different? Because the others sounded good too. The others made sense too. The others had testimonies too. The others might have had guarantees too. So why is Tom different? Please remove that hurdle of potential disappointment from me. Because unless I can remove that hurdle during my 1 hour presentation, they may not race down that track and grab my pot of gold. In other words, book the consult. So that gives you two of the hurdles. And the third hurdle is not a bigger hurdle, but it's, will I implement? If I work with Melanie, if I work with Tom, if I work with whoever, it sounds like this stuff is great. It sounds like a really good, why I will implement this when I didn't implement those other courses or programs or stuff that I bought. So they are the three biggest hurdles. Biggest one is the demonstration of your capability to deliver on the promise that you have embedded in the title, because the title must be benefit rich.
Yeah, that is dead on. You know, in my 20 years of having enrollment conversations, selling on webinars, whatever strategy it was, like, I can say without a shadow of a doubt, those three obstacles have come up over and over and over again. And it used to make me a little bit sad when I would talk to a consultant and they're saying, oh, you know, Melanie, I just don't know if it's going to work for me. Like, I invested so much money with so-and-so and the so-and-so and it never worked. And now I look at it as this great opportunity to reinforce a new possibility for them. So I love that you brought that up.
I'll give the audience another little tip. And so what we do with our stuff is someone comes to a webinar from someone else's email list, and I kind of strut my stuff and give them some great value, and the right ones will go ahead and book a consult, right? And they'll agree that they can afford to work with me, timing's good, and yep, we'll have a mature adult conversation to see if I got something that's going to be a fit. And if we don't, both parties don't agree, it's not going to be any arm twisting or sales stuff and so on, because selling is what you have to do when your marketing sucks. Okay, so they book the consult, and they've agreed to, you know, the qualification. And then they get redirected. They get an email confirmation, it goes to the calendar, but they get redirected. The web page changes, and they go to a page that says, hey, if you're here, you've probably just booked a consult. Congratulations, looking forward to working with you. A lot of people wonder why working with me is different. And here's 8 reasons why my clients tell me that I was their number one choice. And we go into the whole thing about, you know, you probably paid money to people that sounded like me before, and maybe you didn't implement, or you implemented and it just didn't make a difference. So why am I different? How do you know that we're different? So we pre-qualify, well, not pre-qualify, sorry, we've already done that. We educate the prospect before the consult. So a bunch of the questions that they might have at the consult already answered. and we can focus more on the solution that's best fit for them.
Yeah, that's such a great strategy. We started doing that a few years back, and it made a huge difference.
Doesn't it?
Huge difference, yeah. This is so good.
And then you, as the person running the consult, folks, you don't have to answer the same freaking questions over and over again. Very often, a lot of those questions, which people quite reasonably have, are answered before they even get to the consult.
Right. And then you're not spending all that time answering questions that, you know, they've already got answers to. So I'm imagining as someone's listening in right now, they're thinking, okay, so how am I going to get some more resources? How do I, you know, get to know Tom's work more? Do you have a next step or resource that you'd like to share with our listener today?
Sure. And rather than try and be Hugh Jackman.
But yet are, Tom.
Folks should get right. 63, bald, wrinkled. Yeah, what's not to love? Folks should go to 5hourchallenge.com. That's the word five, F-I-V-E, hourchallenge.com. It's a 5-hour challenge spread over 5 days. It's 1 hour a day, including a 10-minute video where I explain what your action exercise for that day is. And by the end of the 5 days, where you've invested a total of 1 hour a day, including the 10-minute video, you should be able to generate 5 fresh leads and hopefully 1 new client. So 5hourchallenge.com.
Perfect. And I will link that up in the show notes just in case you're scrambling for a pen and you missed it. Tom, I could ask you a gazillion more questions, but I'm going to save that for your 5-hour challenge. Get your book, part of the Leadsology trilogy. I want to know a little bit more on the personal side. I always like to take people back to a time in your journey where you had to make a really bold decision. You had to take a big, bold action that has really helped you amplify results in your business and got you to where you are now. What would that be?
You know, I think the biggest one for me was my sister gave me a book. And as I read the book, I became more and more annoyed. And I was annoyed at the author. And the author was Wayne Dyer, and the book was called Pulling Your Own Strings. And the author had the effrontery and the temerity to suggest to me that I was responsible for my own thoughts and emotions. And clearly that wasn't true for me at the time. But by the time I finished reading the book, I had made a decision that he was right, and that if I was going to have happiness and fulfillment in my life, that I'd better take responsibility for my thoughts and my emotions. To me, that was the biggest game changer in my whole life, to quit blaming the government, to quit blaming my partner, to blaming the kids, blaming the clients, blaming, to quit being a victim. In short, it was to step up and say, however angry I feel, however insecure I feel, however jealous I feel, however inadequate I feel, that's down to me. And as soon as I became aware of any state of mind or of any emotion, then I became powerful enough to change it. So that, for me, that was the biggest game changer, was that realization, that decision that I was responsible for my life, that I was now growing up and I couldn't just blame mommy or daddy for how I was feeling anymore as a 40-year-old.
Wow, that's profound. So doing the math, that was a few years ago. It impacted your business or your success to really embrace that understanding about how our mind and our thoughts are creating our reality?
It's a great question. And it's, you know, so we call them growth opportunities, I think. And so it's always two sides to the coin. It's this, I experienced this cycle of frustration and liberation. So something doesn't go according to my well thought out plan, and I get frustrated. And then I wake up to the realization that I created that, and that I had the power to create a different scenario, and that's the liberation. So to me, it's the cycling between being asleep and being awake, or having a nightmare and waking up and doing something about it. And, you know, we could spend weeks or months talking about that whole process of waking up and living life consciously and accepting responsibility. But we've probably said enough. And if people want to read more about that, then Wayne Dyer's book, Pulling Your Own Strings, is sort of as relevant as it was, 30 years ago when I read it. I think it was maybe 27 years ago when I read it. So it's, I would love to just say to you, it's been 100% transformation. It was a flash of light in my life. It's never been, you know, never had a problem since. Of course, I've had problems since. And the more successful I've been privileged enough to be, or the more success I've created, the bigger the problems have become. Mm-hmm. The, you just get to graduate to larger problems. But it's the same attitude and thinking processes that solve little problems can be applied to big problems. So it's this constant feeling momentarily like a victim that it's someone else's responsible, this, the frustration of that, to the waking up and the liberation of knowing I can change it if I decide to do that.
Thank you for sharing that. I think every great leader, every great success I've ever interviewed on any of my shows, it's been profound how many people share that it was the inside work that became a catalyst for the outside success. So I love that you gave us another example today.
It just doesn't work the other way around, does it?
Well, not yet.
People think that they can just they can just change what's happening on the outside, then they'll be happy on the inside, and it's completely the opposite. The outside world is just a mirror image of the inside world. So any significant or permanent change in our outside world and our physical health, our relationships, or our financial situation is always preceded by a change in our inside world.
Mm. Well said, Tom. Again, I want to encourage you to go and get the 5-hour challenge, 5hourchallenge.com. I'll link that up in the show notes. And if you are in the Amplify Your Success Facebook community with me, I'm going to create a conversation around this for you. I don't want you just to listen to these amazing guests. I want you to download their resource. I want you to get active in implementing what you're learning, because great ideas only pay off when you put them into action. So I'm going to be asking you, what are you going to put into action from Tom's extraordinary wisdom and his great resources? So Tom, thanks again for joining in and sharing all this awesomeness.
Oh, thanks for the privilege and opportunity.
This is Melanie Benson, your host. Thanks so much for listening in today. If you want to catch up on any of the show notes and circle back on any of the resources we shared in today's show, head on over to the show page at AmplifyYourSuccessPodcast.com. And remember, you amplify your results faster when you're in a community of other people who are moving and shaking. Join us at AmplifyYourSuccessCommunity.com. One last thing. When you've gained insight from today's episode, help us share that and inspire other people by heading over to iTunes, subscribing, and give it a review. iTunes absolutely loves seeing these reviews pop up, and it actually helps boost my show's visibility. So I would be super grateful for your reviews. And as always, I love seeing your shares of these episodes on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Come find me over there. Tag me in your shares. I'll give you some social media love right back. So see you next week for another inspiring episode of Amplify Your Success Podcast.